This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard the Adam Ritz Show. My name, guess what? It's crazy. I know it's Adam Ritz. And Jay Baker is on the phone with me. Jay joins me every week to bring some great public affairs topics and content to us. Jay, how's it going this time?
It is going well. And as you know, this is everybody's premier look at the things that are important in your life.
Well, I think I should be the first one to say, Happy Father's Day weekend to you.
Hey, thank you very much. That's right. Dads across the United States will be enjoying that one day where the whole family turns their attention to dad, showers him with gifts, and gives him a back rub.
I don't know if I'm getting the back rub, but I am getting, hopefully getting some gifts. I'm using the excuse to slack off, so bear with me today. If anything seems like I'm not throwing 100% effort into it, hey, it's Father's Day, and I'm a dad too, so I bear with me.
Yeah.
So I'll begin this episode with a story from Santa Barbara, California, and it's sort of a twofold story here. It's about an organization called 1-805 that benefits the Santa Barbara County first responders. 1-805, their goal is to raise money and funding for emergency life-saving equipment for the Santa Barbara first responders, including disaster preparedness and 24/7 accessible mental wellness services for all of the Santa Barbara County fire departments. There's a famous person that lives in Santa Barbara, believe it or not. His name is Kenny Loggins. I know you know the man.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the four faces on the Mount Rushmore of Yacht Rock. He's known as Mr. Movie Soundtrack, Grammy Award-winning artist, and one heck of a nice guy, apparently, because 1-805 just awarded Kenny Loggins as its 2024 Heart of the Community Award recipient. So,
oh, good.
A little round of applause there for Kenny Loggins. Something else to put in his trophy case. Now, here's the interesting thing to me. Kenny just did his final farewell tour. It was very appropriately called, and I think cleverly called, This Is It. One of his biggest songs was called This Is It, and that's what he named the tour, because it was it. He's done. That was it. He is retired from touring. He's well into his 70s, and that doesn't mean he's not going to perform here and there anymore. He's just not going to tour full band, you know, 200-city monster arenas. Those days are behind him. Well, he's going to perform this September at the 1-805 benefit concert, and that's where on stage he will not only perform, but he will receive this award. So I think that's cool that for anybody that thought you missed your chance to see Kenny Loggins perform, you didn't miss your chance. He'll be on stages here and there, and this is one of them. The show is September 20th, and you're not going to believe the venue. And Jay, you won't believe that you can buy a ticket to this event and go to this venue. September 20th, the venue is Kevin Costner's Oceanside Estate.
Holy cow.
I would love to see Kenny Loggins in Kevin Costner's backyard. And you can do this. These tickets are available. They're on sale now at the website is 1805.org. 1805.org, and it's spelled O-N-E, then the numbers 805. 1805.org. And, you know, any other donations you make, 100% of the contributions go to the first responders in the Santa Barbara area. So, for a longtime Santa Barbara resident, Kenny Loggins, now he's a recipient of the community, the Heart of the Community Award given by 1805. Pink, I know you're a fan of Pink. She'll also perform in Kevin Costner's backyard.
I was concerned that there wouldn't be a good opening act. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how do you bring that up at Thanksgiving? I was hanging out with Pink and Kevin Costner and Kenny Loggins. We were hanging out on his Oceanside estate.
Really?
Yes, that's a possibility for all of us. I don't know have a ticket that's price funny. On that. I don't know what it would be, but again, if it's a lot, it's what Jay and I always talk about. You can use your donation philanthropy budget to actually have some fun, cool things happen in your life. This is one of them. So you can give to first responders and have a chance to meet, you know, Kenny Loggins, Pink, and Kevin Costner.
Yeah, well, it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You are absolutely correct. You'll love this. They did this last year. They're going to do it again this year. Metallica announces the second marching band competition. Do you remember last year's?
Oh, yeah. I love when Metallica does this.
Yeah, Metallica encourages high school and college bands to perform Metallica music in an entertaining way. Now, any band that enters the competition will have access to a library of marching band charts for Metallica songs, and it's provided actually by a national company. The bands with the best performances will win music equipment for their school programs furnished by Metallica and their sponsors.
That is,
and
killer.
Some of these prizes are substantial. Like, to give you an example, if you're in the collegiate band division and you win first place, your band will get $50,000 worth of new band equipment.
That is unbelievable. It's so cool that such a, you know, hard rocking, seemingly party, tear up the hotel room type of band is getting involved with the marching band scene. And
yeah,
you know, we've talked about the guys at Metallica. They're into their 50s now. It's not like they're tearing up hotels anymore. I'm sure one of them's a grandpa by now. but yeah, it's just love when the hard rockers get involved with philanthropy. It's taking cool to a new level.
And, you know, they have different categories. Even the small high school band category, if your band has less than 75 band members, you still could win $20,000 worth of equipment for your school.
I am jealous of these high school marching band members. I have some friends whose kids are in award-winning marching bands. And, you know, when I was in high school in the last century, being on the football team was like the cool thing to do. And being in the marching band, like, supported the football team. There are so many high schools now where it's the opposite. The marching band is like, you know, they're building like $1 million indoor practice facilities for the band. And
yeah.
And oh yeah, by the way, if you're good, the football team can use it too. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Video submissions are due by November 29th of this year. The fan voting period will be throughout the month of December, and then the winners will be announced the week of January 13th, 2025. So if you are a marching band member, a band director, this is definitely worth tapping into. Go to MetallicaMarchingBand.com for more information.
Very interesting and cool, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to have fun with this.
Here's kind of an interesting fad. A lot of car crashes are being now viewed by insurance companies as totaled. A new report from Bloomberg found that after an accident, one out of every five cars is just being written off. So insurance adjusters are deciding that it's more economical to call the vehicle a loss and write a check than spend the money it takes to return it to drivable condition. Now, here's a caveat to that. First of all, drive carefully. We don't want you to be in any kind of an accident, but it has opened the door for a number of companies to take these cars that are sort of on the verge point between being totaled, but maybe not really, and they have created a successful reselling business on behalf, they work in conjunction with these insurance companies. The only reason I bring that up is make sure you know exactly where your used car came from. I'm sure that these cars are restored as well as they can, but you and I know not everybody is comfortable with driving a car that's had significant damage.
No, that's true. My dad's one of those guys that it has to have the original paint job if he buys a used car. And, you know, you can tell if it's been painted a different color. Oh, that's maybe the biggest red flag of nefarious, ill-intentioned the worst dregs of humanity come from a car that has been painted a different color.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, so, you know, everybody's got sort of their preferences, but I just thought that was very interesting that the insurance companies, as we well know, auto insurance rates are up across the nation, and they're dealing with cost issues as well because, you know, it is more expensive now to get cars repaired.
Yeah, and I don't know how the math would work on that. That's interesting. And I don't know what, you know, previously, 20 years ago, what you said, one out of five now?
Yeah, approximately one out of five cars that are involved in accidents are just being so-called written off by the insurance companies.
So so maybe 10 years ago, it was one out of 10.
Hard to say. I don't have... you know, my research, Adam, only indicates what's going on now.
you can't my know researchers, everything.
Yeah, my researchers took this afternoon off. I mean, come on.
It's Father's Day weekend. What do you want from me?
Father's Day weekend. I was giving them a break. They've been working so hard lately. Hey, speaking of working so hard, you probably know this, Adam. High-paying remote work jobs are fading from the landscape pretty rapidly. A new website, Insight Group, is showing that well-paying remote jobs have fallen nearly 60%, and the old hybrid availability jobs have dropped 95% over the past year.
That is very interesting. I think a lot of people thought that this remote world was here to stay. And maybe you know, these jobs were plentiful and they've just all been filled now. They're all taken.
Well, it's an interesting scenario as well. I think, too, overall, super well-paying jobs have eased off a little bit. That makes sense. Also, this was fueled by COVID. Many of the COVID restrictions have disappeared. And it does appear that the model is swinging in the opposite direction, that if your employer is willing to still provide high-paying jobs, they're going to require more commitment from their employees. Initially, I think everybody had this sort of spirit, and I don't know if you concur with this, Adam, but you know, when we all started to remote work, I think everybody felt very banded together. Let's get through this, you know, for America, for our companies, for ourselves. But I think, you know, the shakeout is, hey, most American workers are kind of saying, hey, I want to take care of me. And that there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. But I think the whole range of emotions has shifted, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, too, that, you know, for mental health reasons, a lot of people, me included, want to go to a physical building called work or the office, get out of the house and get around your coworkers to engage and brainstorm. I mean, it's really hard to get in a groove when you're in your underwear all day in your living room with a computer screen doing Zoom calls. I don't know how productive I would be if I was doing that every day for my job, a remote job every day. I don't think I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a change. That is absolutely certain that, you know, that things are going that way. And I'm seeing more and more friendly faces at the radio station, which, quite frankly, mid-pandemic, look kind of like a ghost town, you know?
Yeah, it's depressing. when you do go into the office on a work from home day and you're the only one there. I mean, you feel like it's post-apocalyptic. I will say, though, working from home, the one advantage that I love is the how it affects my weekly gas budget. I can really
–
I have about a 28-minute drive to the office. So to and from, almost an hour worth of gas every day, that can add up. So when I work from home occasionally, I can really tell the needle in my car doesn't get as low as it usually does.
No, you are correct about that. Here's a great story about Alice Cooper donated a hand-drawn signed picture of a cat to Michigan Cat Rescue. It's a volunteer organization that will auction the piece to raise money for operations.
Once again, the world of tearing up your hotel room is reduced to a cat charity.
Yeah.
That is, I love it. Alice Cooper is such a cool guy.
He is, yeah.
And he it's like, you know, even in that movie Wayne's World, you kind of got to know, like, he's a smart,
right.
He's a normal smart, he's super smart. And everybody just kind of accepts that when he gets on stage, it's just an act. He's just got the eye makeup on, and his microphone is a snake, a venomous, poisonous snake. And there's all these skulls on the stage, but it's just an absolute act. Because when he gets off the stage, he really likes to golf. And isn't he almost 70? I mean, he's just a great guy. And what'd he do?
Well,
he draw a picture of a cat?
Yeah. And it was funny you said that. He had famously relocated to a town in Arizona so he could golf more, because the rock and roll people tend to gravitate either New York or Los Angeles for transportation and equipment and all the other stuff that rock stars are involved with. Alice said, "Hey, I'll let the touring company put the equipment together. I'm going to be out here on the golf course. You call me when we're ready to go out again." So
it's just awesome. Yeah, I think if he drew a picture of a cat and sold it to help a pet rescue in 1975, if he did that, his ticket sales would go down. People would be like,
"Yes.
Oh, he's not as cool as I thought he was." But in 2024, it's the coolest thing you can do. He's such a cool guy.
And this is ironic, as what you said, this picture he made during an appearance at an Orlando horror convention. So he already knows, yeah, I'm in the horror world. But if I draw a picture of a cat and they auction it off, hey, it's more money for the kitties,
man,
you know?
That's great. What a great story. That so far today, we've talked about Kenny Loggins, Metallica,
mm-hmm.
and Alice Cooper. We're on shuffle.
Yeah, and these and all of them involve charitable things, so that's very positive. Speaking of charity, the annual Rock for Ronnie concert happens in Woodland Hills, California, in May each year. They raised over $80,000 for the Ronnie James Dio Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund.
Wow. I really didn't see this show starting with Kenny Loggins and ending with Ronnie James Dio. This is fun. I'm having fun now. It's an annual concert. Rock for Ronnie.
Yeah, annual concert. $80,000.
Now, forgive me. You're a classic rock aficionado. Is Ronnie James Dio still with us?
He has passed away.
Okay. And do you know how long ago that was?
It's been a while. He was one of the original artists featured. I'm trying to think of exactly the exact phrase of it. I think it's holographic, where they can project an image of a deceased individual onto the stage.
Right. Okay. I've heard that.
They actually conducted some holographic concerts with Ronnie James Dio.
Okay, so I'm conflating now. The cat, Alice Cooper's cat, was in Michigan. Where was the Rock for Ronnie concert?
It was in Woodland Hills, California.
Woodland Hills, California. Fantastic.
Now we're mixing and matching our charities and artists. But they're all charitable and they're all doing a great job.
Now, if you're in a high school marching band, can you play Ronnie James Dio?
You have to play Metallica if you want to win the money.
Okay, that's a Metallica. Okay, back to Metallica.
There you go. Back to Metallica. Hey, here's an interesting thing. Now, this is new research, so I don't know if this mirrors what you've seen or what you've heard, but apparently a number of individuals have really noticed that fast food prices have risen dramatically. It used to be kind of a fast and cheap alternative to cooking for yourself, but it seems like some of those days are over. New research suggests that it's becoming so expensive, most Americans are eating fast food less often.
Absolutely agree with that. I've seen the prices. I've witnessed the prices firsthand, and it's, you know, I guess as a younger man, you went to the fast food joints purely for convenience, flavor, and price.
Right.
And now, if you're going now and it's costing just as much as, you know, a medium fast casual restaurant, just a few bucks less, and you have the time to actually sit in a booth with a server, why would you go to a fast food joint? So then you throw in the whole health aspect of it, and then you really, I've heard this a lot at home about grocery shopping. I have eaten so much better here in the last 10 years because I don't eat at a restaurant every meal. We eat at home a lot, and you can get much healthier food at a better price when you buy it yourself at a grocery store. So, yeah, the fast food industry's got some decisions to make.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct about that. This is according to LendingTree. They said that while 3 in 4 people polled typically eat fast food once a week, 62% say they're eating less because of said rising prices. So exactly what you said. Consumers are also frustrated by the fact that fast food prices seem to be outpacing general inflation numbers. So the inflation numbers, you throw that on, I think it's undeniable that we've been dealing with some issues with gas prices and grocery store prices. In fact, you and I did a show not too long ago. Believe it or not, grocery store prices seems to be one of the most vexing things to Americans right now. So with all the other controversies that swirl around us, rank and file, down to earth, the kitchen table, you know, problems, high prices at the grocery store. That's a big deal right now.
It is. I can't remember the last time I was just, as you were talking, the last time I went to a fast food restaurant. I can't even really, when you said the average American goes once a week.
Right now it's 3 in 4 that still claim that they are eating fast food once a week.
Once a week. Okay. And you know, the producer of this show, Taylor, he goes to Taco Bell once a day.
Once a day, yes.
But that's very common for producers in the radio industry. A radio producer will go to a fast food once a week, maybe more than once. I'm sorry, once a day, maybe more than once a day.
Sometimes twice.
I feel like maybe I was in an airport recently where I got, you know, you fly through Atlanta, you got to go to the Varsity. I think maybe I had some Varsity cheeseburgers the last time I flew through Atlanta about 5 or 6 weeks ago. But my goodness, yeah, it's not a once a week thing anymore for me. And the worse the prices get, it may not be a once a quarter thing.
Well, you are correct. Now, I am going to offer help to the Adam Rich Show listeners because we do. We feel your pain. We want you to help navigate the rising prices. You're going to love this. There's a new interactive map that helps diners find the lowest price Big Macs across the country.
Okay, they're not the same price?
Well, you're going to love this. It's called the McCheapest Map. It's created by Pantry and Larder, which is a food company, showing the price of Big Macs at every McDonald's location across the USA. Now, according to the map's most recent data, the cheapest Big Mac can be had for $3.49 That is in Stigler, Oklahoma. Have no idea the size of Stigler, but their prices are low for the Big Mac.
You know, it finally pays off to live in Stigler, Oklahoma.
Finally.
$3.49 for a Big Mac. Talk about feeling like an old man. The Big Mac value meal was $3.49. That included the large drink and the large fries.
You got a lot back in the day. Now, you'll love this, the most expensive one. This is with the most recent data. $8.09, that's in Lee, Massachusetts.
Oh, my goodness. This
$8.09.
Is fascinating for me because I guess I just thought McDonald's and their sandwiches, it was just a uniform price across the board. I didn't think it was like gasoline where it cost differently in different places. $8 for a Big Mac? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That just shows you, we talked about this, the prices have gone up. I think they kind of went up quietly. Obviously, the pushback has come quietly because people love their fast food. We talk about health a lot on this show. You can't probably have a great healthy diet if you're eating a lot of fast food, but it just feels good sometimes to just have that one fast food menu item that you really like. You know, and as we were saying, typically that might be once a week for people, and that's a fairly moderate look at it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's not terrible. I mean, there is some nutritional value in there, and you got to eat anyway. And I always look at fast food as it's almost my entertainment budget more than my nutritional budget. I mean, I just enjoy it so much. It tastes so good.
Yeah,
and I'll go get a big bag of something from somewhere and just sit down with a football game on and enjoy the next 60 minutes of my life with all of that goodness in front of me. $8 for a Big Mac, though. I don't know if, you know, let's say you got a family of six the two youngest twins want two Big Macs each. I mean, you got to take a loan out just to go to McDonald's.
Absolutely. We'll finish on this. This is a great story. Six kids were vying for one $10,000 scholarship. Well, something very nice happened. Last couple weeks, the ceremony for this scholarship started like many of them before. The $10,000 scholarship ended going to a high school student who wants one day to become a judge. However, an anonymous benefactor was impressed by the five other candidates and decided to throw in an additional $50,000 so that all six students were rewarded with a $10,000 scholarship.
Now that is certainly a positive story to end on. I love it. 10 grand scholarship, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they knew that only one in six was gonna win. Julie Cyprian of East Boston High School was that winner. But think about that. Somebody knew that specifically there'd be five disappointed kids. They all end up with a big smile on their face. And, you know, not a huge amount of money, but you know, when you send a student off to college, every penny, every dime counts.
It really does. That is a fact. Jay, thank you so much for your contributions to the world of public affairs radio. In my head, I was thinking of young Adam in the early 80s, growing up in the world of hair metal and the song Rainbow in the Dark by Ronnie James Dio was certainly on one of my mixtapes on my Walkman in memory of Ronnie James Dio. And the work he's done for the world of cancer research. Just a little shout out to Rock for Ronnie concert that just raised over $80,000 in Woodland Hills, California. For our listeners, if you're not familiar with Ronnie James Dio, just do a little Google search for Rainbow in the Dark. It is a killer, awesome hair metal song from 1983. All right, Jay Baker, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.